Hello, brothers and sisters, and welcome to another Temple 420 Bible study. This will be our 40th episode, and I'm running a little bit late, so I don't know if anybody will pop in. Invites are out, and these are open every Wednesday. I can remember what day it is that we do these. Everybody's always welcome to come and study the Bible with us. Ask questions and go with how they like to go with it. I'll start here by a prayer. Dear Almighty Yahweh, thank you for the blessings you give us. Thank you for the time that we get to have in your word and bringing these to people so they don't have to study alone or do it alone. And they can hear your word, they can go through it, and may it encourage them to want more of you and seek you out. Thank you for what you give us, Lord. Amen. And remove Jesus here. Add the Bible to the thing here. We finished last episode. We finished Leviticus. We wrapped up Leviticus. And we're going into Numbers now. Numbers 1:1, about the census of Israel's warriors. In the wilderness of Sinai, on the first day of the second month of the second year from the Exodus in the land of Egypt, Adonai spoke to Moses in the tent of meeting, saying, "Do a head count of all the community of Bnei Israel by their families and their ancestral house, and the total of every male one by one. You and Aaron are to muster by their divisions every son from 20 years upward and available to serve in the army of Israel. One man from each tribe, each the head of his father's household, is to assist you." And one man from each tribe, each head of his father's household, is to assist you. These are the names of the men who will assist you: from Reuben, Elizur, son of Shedor; from Simon, Samuel, of son of Zushadai; from Judah, Nashon, the son of Amadab; from Ishkar, Nathaniel, of son of Zoa; Zebulon, Elab, son of Helon; from the sons of Joseph, Ephraim, Ishma, the son of Amihud; from Messiah, Gamaliel, the son of Pedhoah; from Benjamin, Abadon, the son of Gedini; from Dan, Azir, the son of Amishaddai; Asher, Pajol, the son of Utran; from God, Elizapheth, the son of Duel; from Naphtali, and Ahira, the son of Enan. These were the selected from the community, princes of their ancestral tribe. They were heads of the thousands of Israel. So Moses and Aaron took these men designated by name. They assembled all the community to the first day of the second month. They declared their lineage according to their families, their households of their forefathers, and the number of the names of those 20 years old and upward being listed individually. Moses numbered Israel in the wilderness of Sinai, just as Adonai had commanded him. The sons of Reuben, Israel's firstborn, their generations, their families, by their ancestral households, according to the counts by name, every male 20 years and upward, all available for the army. Those counted from the tribe of Reuben were 46,500. From the sons of Simeon, their generations according to their families, their ancestral households, in whose name were counted by polls, every male 20 years and upwards, everyone who would go with the army. They counted the tribe of Simeon, 59,300. From the sons of Gad, their generations according to their family, their ancestral households, an account of names, every male 20 years and upward, everyone available to go with the army. Those counted from the tribe of God were 45,650. Welcome. How's it going?
It's going all right. How are you doing?
Pretty good. Reading through Numbers 1 here.
Okay.
From the sons of Judah, their generations by their families, their ancestral households, the count of their names, all who would go out of the army. Those counted from the tribe of Judah were 74,600. From the sons of Issachar, their generations according to their families, their ancestral households, by the number of the names, every male 20 years and upward, going out with the army. Those counted from the tribe of Issachar were 54,400. From the sons of Zebulun, their generations according to their families, to the ancestral households, by the number of the names of everyone 20 years old and upward, going out with the army. Those counted from the tribe of Zebulun were 57,400. From the sons of Joseph, the sons of Ephraim, their generations according to their families, to their ancestral households, by the count of the names 20 years old and upward, going with the army. Those numbered from the tribes of Ephraim were 40,500. From the sons of Manasseh, their generations according to their families, their ancestral households, by the number of the names 20 years old and going out with the army. Those counted from the tribe of Manasseh were 32,200. From the sons of Benjamin, their generations by their families, their ancestral households, by the number of the names of every 20-year-old and up, going out with the army. Those numbers from the tribe of Benjamin were 35,400. From the sons of Dan, their generations by the families, their ancestral households, by the number of everyone 20 years and upward, who would go out with the army. Those numbered from the tribe of Dan were 62,700. From the sons of Asher, their generations by the family, their ancestral households, by the number everyone 20 years old and upward would go out to the army. Those counted in the tribe of Asher were 41,500. From the sons of Naphtali, their generation by the families, their ancestral households, by the number everyone 20 years old and upward would go out with the army. Those counted in the tribe of Naphtali were 53,400. Those were the ones numbered by Moses. Aaron and the princes of Israel counted them. Each of the 12 men represented their ancestral house. So all of those counted from Ben Israel, according to their ancestral households, 20 years and up, all able to go into the army of Israel. Those counted totaled out to be 603,550. It's interesting that they use the 20 years old here too.
Yeah. Honestly, I think my brain is, you know what I mean? I think I'm going to do better on the second half of this Bible study because, I don't know, like, it's just so much and it's hard for me to understand.
Well, this one's just a bunch of number crunching and repeating same things over and over.
Yeah, I did notice that. Yeah.
Yep.
It was almost giving me anxiety. I don't know why. I think because I was trying to understand it all and I couldn't. I don't know, but anyways.
Well, 20 years older and up is interesting because when, I don't know if you noticed when we were talking about Jesus and the disciples and when they taxed them, you had to be 20 years and up. And when they came to the disciples looking for their taxes, it was just Jesus and I think Peter that
everybody else, right? The fish.
Yep. Yeah. One. He says, "Go fish out of the lake and you get the one talent, so you can pay our half talent taxes." Interesting.
Yeah.
The Levites were exempted. The Levites, however, were not counted by the tribe of their ancestors. For Adonai told Moses, "Definitely, you are not to number the tribe of Levi, nor take the sum of them among B'nai Israel. Instead, you are to appoint the Levites over the tabernacle of the testimony, all of its implements, all pertaining to it. They are to carry the tabernacle and its utensils, and tend it up to the camp around it. Whenever the tabernacle sets out, the Levites are to dismantle it, and whenever the tabernacle is pitched, the Levites are to set it up. But the commoner who comes near it must be put to death. B'nai Israel will encamp each man with his own camp, each with his own standard according to their divisions. The Levites are to camp around the tabernacle of the testimony, so there'll be no wrath and least on the community of Ben Israel. So the Levites are to maintain care of the tabernacle of testimony." So Ben Israel did all that Adonai commanded Moses, so they did. And then two is a bunch of numbers too, talking about how they should arrange the camp. Numbers 2:1, Adonai said to Moses, saying, "Let each man encamp under his own standard among the banners of their ancestral house at an appropriate distance around the tent of meeting. Those camping on the east toward the sunrise will be the standard of Judea according to their divisions. Nochron, the son of Amminadab, is the prince of Judea. His division by their number is 74,600. Camping next to him should be the tribe of Issachar. The prince of the sons of Issachar is Nathanael, son of Zur. Their division by the numbers is 54,400. Next to the tribe of Zebulon, the prince of the sons of Zebulon is Eab, the son of Elion. His division count is 57,400. All those numbered in Judea's camp by their divisions are 186,400. They're to advance first. The standard camp of Reuben should be on the south side by their divisions. The prince of the sons of Reuben is Elizur, the son of Sidor. His division by their number is 46,500. Those camping next to them are the tribe of Simon. The prince of the sons of Simon is Simeuel, the son of Zurishaddai. His division by number is 59,300.
Next, man, my body hurts. Hey, I think I'm probably gonna
catch out.
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm sorry.
For stopping by. Have a good one.
Yeah. Hopefully, I'll be able to come to the next one. I'm feeling more rested. But anyways, I'll talk to you later.
Later.
Bye bye.
Next is the tribe of God. The prince of the tribe of God is Ephroth, the son of Ruzel. His division by its numbers is 45,650. All those numbers of the camp of Reuben are 151,450. They are set out second. Then the tent of meeting will move out of the camp with the Levites, which is in the middle of the camp, just as they were in camp, each person in his own place under his appropriate standard. On the west will be the standard of the camp of Ephraim by their divisions. The prince of the sons of Ephraim is Esmashala, son of Amihud. His division by their numbers is 40,500. Next to him is the tribe of Manasseh. The prince of the sons of Manasseh is Gamaziel, the son of Pedahur. His division of the numbers is 32,200. Next, the tribe of Benjamin. The prince of the sons of Benjamin is Abidan, the son of Gideoni. His division by numbers is 35,400. All those numbers in the camp of Ephraim are 108,100 by their divisions. They are to advance third. The standard of the camp of Dan shall be on the north, according to their divisions. The prince of the son of Dan is Eleazar, the son of Ammishaddai. His division by numbers is 62,700. Next to him will encamp the tribe of Asher. The prince of the son of Asher is Pagel, the son of Okran. His division by numbers is 41,500. Next is the tribe of Naphtali. The prince of the sons of Naphtali is Arah, son of Enan. His division by the numbers is 53,400. All those numbered in the camp of Dan are 1,500 or 157,600. They are to advance by their standards. These are the names of the numbers of Bnei Israel, according to their ancestral households. They are counted according to their divisions, are 603,550. However, the Levites are not counted among Bnei Israel, just as Adonai commanded Moses. So Bnei Israel acted in accordance to all that Adonai had commanded Moses. This they camped by their standards and set out, each man according to his families and to their ancestral houses. And then we were doing Matthew 23 here next. I didn't have my banner. How dare I? Go ahead. I'm not going to have a long one, I don't think, today. It's kind of running late, but it'd be good to get some of the word out here. The seven woes to the scribes and the Pharisees. Matthew 23:1. Yes, then Yeshua spoke to the crowds and his disciples, saying, "The Torah scholars and the Pharisees sit on the seat of Moses. So whatever they tell you, do and observe, but do not do what they do, for what they say, do not do. They tie up heavy loads, hard to carry, and then lay them on men's shoulders, but are not willing to lift a finger to move them. All their works do to be noticed of men. They make their telephon wide and their titzon long." I believe is the box they wear on their head, so they make it even bigger so nobody notices it. And their tits yalt is the little strings that they put on the end of their garments. So they make them long so they can make sure everybody notices them. They love the place of honor at feasts, the best seats in the synagogues, greetings in the marketplace, and to be called rabbi by men. But you are not to be called rabbi, for there is only one who is your teacher, and you are all brothers, and no man on earth your father. And call no man on earth your father, for one there is one Father who is in heaven. Nor are you to be called teachers, for there is one teacher, the Messiah. But the greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts him shall be humbled, and whoever humbles him shall be exalted. But woe to you, Torah scholars and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you shut out people of the kingdom of heaven. For you do not enter yourselves, nor do you let those who enter trying to go in. Woe to you, Torah scholars and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel over the land and sea to make one covenant. And then when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a son of Gehenna as yourself. Woe to you, blind guides. You say whoever swears by the temple is nothing, but whoever swears by the gold of the temple, he is obligated. O fools and blind ones, which is greater, the gold of the temple or the temple that made the gold holy? And you say, whoever swears by the altar, it is nothing, but whoever swears by the offering, he is obligated. O blind ones, which is greater, the offering or the altar that makes the offering holy? Therefore, whoever swears by the altar swears by both the altar and everything on it. And whoever swears by the temple swears by both the temple and him who dwells in it. And whoever swears by heaven swears by both the throne of God and him who sits on it. Woe to you, Torah scholars and Pharisees, hypocrites! You tithe mint, dill, and cumin, yet you have neglected the weightier matters of the Torah, justice and mercy and faithfulness. It is necessary to do these things without neglecting others. O blind guides, straining out a gnat while swallowing a camel. Woe to you, Torah scholars and Pharisees, hypocrites! You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but they are full of greed and uncontrolled desire. O blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and dish, so the outside may become clean as well. Woe to you, Torah scholars and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but are full of dead man's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, you appear righteous to men on the outside, but you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Woe to you, Torah scholars and Pharisees, hypocrites! You build tombs for the prophets and decorate monuments of the Tekzeum. And you say, if we'd been alive in the days of our forefathers, we wouldn't have been partners with them in the shedding of the blood of the prophets. So you testify against yourselves that you are the sons who murdered the prophet, of those who murdered the prophets. Fill up, then, the measure of your fathers. O snakes, you brood of vipers, how are you going to escape the condemnation of Gehenna? Because of this, behold, I am sending you the prophets and the wise men and the Torah scholars. Some of them you will kill and execute at the stake, and some of them you'll scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. And so upon you come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of the righteous of Abel and the blood of Zechariah, the son of Beshriath, from you murdered between the temple and the altar. Amen. I tell you, these things will come upon your generation. Lament over Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, who kills the prophets and stones those sent to her, how often I long to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you are not willing. Look, your house is left to be too desolate. For I tell you, you will never see me again until you say, Barak ha ba Bashem Odona. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus foretells the destruction of the temple. Now, when Yeshua went out and was going away from the temple, his disciples came up to point him to the temple's buildings. Don't you see these? He responds to them, Amen, I tell you, not one stone will be left here on one atop of another. Every one will be torn down. Signs of the age. He was sitting on the Mount of Olives, and the disciples came to him privately, saying, Tell us, when will these things happen? What will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Yeshua answered them, be careful that no one lends you astray. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Messiah, and lead many astray. For you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must happen, but is not yet the end. For nation will rise up against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in various places. But these things are only the beginning of the birth pains. They will hand you over to persecution and will kill you. You'll be hated by all the nations because of my name. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. Many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. Because of lawlessness will multiply, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. This is the good news of the kingdom that shall be proclaimed in the whole world as a testimony to the nations. And then the end will come. The abomination of desolation. So when you see the abomination of desolation, which was spoken Daniel, the prophet, standing in the holy place, let the reader understand. Then Judea must flee to the mountains. The one on the roof must go down and take what's in his house. And the one in the field must not turn back to get his coat. Woe to those who are pregnant and those who are nursing babies in those days. Pray your escape will not happen in winter or on the Shabbat. For there will be a great trouble such as not happened since the beginning of the world until now, nor ever will. And unless those days were cut short, no one would be delivered. But for the sake of the chosen, those days will be cut short. Then if anyone says to you, look, here's the Messiah, or there he is, do not believe it. For false messiahs and false prophets will rise up and show great signs and wonders to lead astray, if possible, even the chosen. See, I have told you beforehand. So they say to you, look, he is in the wilderness. Do not go out. Or look, he's in the inner rooms. Do not believe it. For just as lightning comes from the east and flashes as far as the west, so will be coming the coming of the Son of Man. For whoever the carcass is, the vultures will gather. The coming of the Son of Man. But immediately, after the trouble in those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from the heaven, and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. All the tribes of the land will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. He will send out his angels with a great shofar, and they will gather together his chosen from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. A lesson of the fig tree. Now learn the parable of the fig tree. When its branches come tender and it puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. Also, then you see all these things, you know that it is near at the door. Amen, I tell you, this generation will not pass away until these things happen. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will never pass away. No one knows the day or the hour. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, nor the Son, except for the Father alone. For just as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And then they did not understand until the flood came and swept them all away. So it shall be in the beginning, the becoming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one taken and one left. Two men will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one will be left. Therefore, stay alert, for you do not know what day your Lord is coming. But you know this, that if the master of the house had known what time the thief was coming, he would have kept watch and not let his house be broken into. So you must also be ready, the Son of Man coming at an hour you do not expect. But there is the faithful and wise servant, whom the master put in charge of his household to give them the food at the proper time. Blessed is the servant whose master finds him so doing when he comes. Amen, I tell you, his master will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But if that wicked servant says in his heart, my master is taking a long time, and he begins to beat his fellow servants and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that servant will come on a day that he does not expect him, and an hour he does not know. And he will cut him in two and assign his place with hypocrites. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I think that's pretty good for today. Two verses here and 30 minutes. I appreciate you guys who have attended and watched and got to learn and hear a bit about the Bible. Thank you, Almighty Yahweh, for the blessings of those who see these things here. May they be blessed and want to seek after you and be filled with your words. Thank you for all that you give us and the blessings that you do. Amen. Thank you, and God bless you all. Take care.